Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. I am so sorry that we are pre-recording today, but I am here in spirit with you, whatever we are broadcasting. So thank you for listening. And for those that have been listening for a long time, thank you for your support as well. I'm Paul Jamison, the host with the Jamison Family of Companies. That's real estate, property management, and investment. And I'm here with Tara Cuffney from the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Tara, welcome back.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
It's been a while.
I know. I'm excited to be here.
So glad to have you. We are excited today. We have lots of great things to talk about. You know, I'm going to talk about with you and with Tara how the process works through the closing cycle, because I think, you know, it is always evolving, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think it's important to talk through that. And I'm going to talk about what makes a good investment property. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But as I always do, I want to share with you what I learned this week. Here we go. Okay. In a particular transaction, any real estate transaction, there are disclosures. They're to tell you things about the property that exist or are material facts. Is there an HOA? Not an HOA. Is there a roof leak? Is it what kind of electrical? Is it a gas furnace? In those disclosures, I'm going to tell you, you better read them. There's stuff in there, especially when you're dealing with companies like Open Door, Knock, and others, that they will put as either an attachment to the disclosure or in the documentation. This is what happened. We went to see a home that was with one of those companies, and you read through the disclosure, and then there was a separate piece of paper that informed you about all of the different issues with the cracked foundation, cracked garage, piers broken, all of these issues that readily were not apparent. There was lipstick on this house. It looked pretty, pretty. Mm-hmm. But underneath, it was a nightmare. Read them. Read everything. Be prepared. That would have been yucko. All right? Also, you must read, we're talking about reading today, the mortgage letter that comes when somebody's trying to buy your listing. Read it carefully. With a lot of online lending letters that are coming out these days, they're very generic. You're having a phone conversation with a potential buyer. They're not doing any due diligence. They're not looking at any tax returns, any documents, and anything. And they're saying it, but they're saying it in the letter. This client is approved on the following conditions. You better read what those conditions are, because it could be that they really haven't provided anything except what they've told that particular mortgage person over the phone. So that's why we approve or choose a pre-approval versus a pre-qualification. Qualification says, well, from what they're telling us, they're qualified. Pre-approval says, from what we see, they're qualified. And I even pick up the phone and call those mortgage letters and mortgage lenders from the letters, and I ask them questions. And certainly they can't tell me everything, but I ask them how qualified, have you spoken to them, did they provide you, and I verify what's in that letter. It's good due diligence, all right? So what could be an You know, I wrote a very, very unique thing about the ifs and is's in inspection reports. So what is the difference between an if and an is? A lot, right? So if you see in an inspection report, what if or if this happens, well, this could break. Well, to me, what is. What if is not is. So you can't predict what could happen if something were to happen. So I deal with what I have, not what may, might, could, there's a chance, maybe, kinda, mighta, sorta, could be. What is, what might, could be, that's a Southern thing, I love that, isn't always.
Nope.
Okay? Did that make any sense? Probably not.
It did.
That's okay. All right. On another note, this week in church, the pastor preached a sermon that says, if you're watching something on TV that makes you mad, the news primarily, turn it off.
It's great advice.
I'm going to take a news break. It's making me crazy. That's crazy stuff. I'm going to turn it off for a while. What about you?
Yep.
Does it make you crazy?
I've already done that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. I'm going to turn it off because I get up. I want to be happy. I don't want to get mad. I'm getting mad. I'm not going to get mad anymore. So there you go. Ha! I'm going to still listen to my show. You're not going to get mad listening to my show. All right. All right. So, as agents, we're required to fulfill the wishes of our clients, but they expect us, though, to tell them what we think. It's very clear that the process is emotional, and as a realtor, you must be able to voice, be that voice of reason, to speak to your clients in hopes that they won't do anything to hurt themselves. It's not easy, but this week I had to really sit down and talk with a client that trusts me. They wanted to make a decision that was very emotional, and I encouraged them not to do it. Is it their choice if that's what they want to do and blow up the situation potentially? They can do that. But thankfully, they listened. And we were able to hold the deal together. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, or whenever this plays, I gave an example of the ugly couch. I love my couch, and I'm never going to call your couch or your baby ugly. But I can't tell you what I was thinking. And that couch was a challenge. How about that for a good word? Challenge? Is that like a legal word?
That's very democratic.
Is that good? Okay. And everybody that came in the house, guess what the first thing they saw was?
The couch.
The couch. Man, that couch was something. So, we finally got all of the couch and matching couch furniture out of the house. We could not overcome the fact that everybody kept saying the home was out of date. Well, the home had just had $50,000 worth of renovations. It was not out of date. And we staged it with up-to-date furniture that matched the taste of the audience that was coming in. Sold it in a week. The ugly couch, excuse me, the opportunistic to leave couch needs to go. Don't be shy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tara, enough about me. What did you learn this week?
I'm going to change gears from what I earlier told you I was going to tell you that I learned this week. But okay. Something that's come up that has never come up before, but it's come up twice in the past couple weeks, permitting.
Oh.
Permitting. It had never occurred to me that people had to worry about permitting, but it happened in two different situations. One was a deck that was covered. That did not abide by the permitting for Huntersville. They got it approved by fudging the drawing that was submitted for approval to Huntersville. What was actually there was not correct. So it was a month-long process. They got a variance, thank goodness.
Oh, man.
The city of Huntersville prepared us that they would not have that. But the agent asked, how would I have known this? She was the person who helped her sellers purchase it. And now she was listing it. And she's like, I feel responsible. Who would have found this? And we don't do it in our title search. It's not a thing that we do. Mm. So be sure you have a wonderful agent like Paul who would say, hey, it looks like this is a new structure, a new room, a new deck. Let's be sure it was permitted properly. Mm. It came up again in another guy who tried to refinance, and his whole second floor had not been permitted. So when he tried to refinance, they didn't give that as part of his evaluation, as part of the appraisal. So, and it never occurred to me because we just don't do it as title attorneys, but it's super important to, you know, if you know of new construction, it should be disclosed. But
right. And you know, if there's an insurance claim, an unpermitted space, you know what happens?
Uncovered.
Exactly. That's a great one. All right, y'all. We'll be right back. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today. Tara Cuffney with the Costner Law Firm. Myself, Paul Jamison. We're here to share time with you on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Welcome back, friends. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday to you, wherever you are. We're glad that you're with us, and we're excited about spending this time with you. I'm Paul Jamison, host of Your Real Estate Today, here with Tara Cuffney with the Costner Law Firm. We are going to begin this segment talking about the process of getting to the finish line, right? The deal is consummated between the buyer and the seller. There is an offer to purchase. We got to get you going.
Yep.
What, first and foremost, we got to get to you early, right?
You do. It takes time. I love HGTV and the shows because they're looking at a house and all of a sudden they own it. So it kind of doesn't really portray real life because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in a real estate transaction. So we're working really hard for you guys to make sure you can buy that house and everything goes smoothly. So we get the contract. That's number one. We've got to know what property you're buying. We've got to do our title search and make sure whatever comes in, we're clearing title. We want to make sure there are no back taxes, no back HOA dues, no mortgages that we're not aware of. So we're working on the title search. The next thing we do is order info sheets. And typically we request those from your real estate agent. So,
okay.
My biggest piece of advice is when we have our, you know, some of our great partners like Paul here, we would love our info sheets filled out at the same time of the contract. Gets all the info there. You have them in person most times. Like, go ahead and grab that info when you have it. Doesn't always happen that way, but our info sheets are asking super important information that if we don't have in a timely manner, it's going to delay the closing.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yes.
Is there evolving a way for a client portal to have them fill out the info sheet online?
Yep. We have this ready to go. We have not implemented it. So I am going to be the test run on it. And once I have figured out how to work it, we're going to expand it to everyone. It's called, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what it's
infosheet.com.
Infosheet.com, sure. But what we're going to do, we're going to be able to push a notification out to you and or your clients, and they can go in and fill all the important information. What's great is they cannot move on to a next section unless we have the very, very important information that we need. Wire instructions are going to be there because we know wire fraud's a huge thing in our industry. Our fees will be there. You can submit your social security number there, which is super secure. So yes, we're getting there. We should be there very, very soon.
That's exciting, actually.
It is. We're super excited about it.
I mean, it is very, very difficult to get those info sheets.
Oh, we know. We know y'all are working hard for them. But people have lives and they're busy and they just think it's happening. But we do need those info sheets back. So
Early.
Okay. It has important information y'all need to tell us. Like, is this a trust? Is it an estate? Are you in bankruptcy? Those are huge, important things for us. If it's a company, we need to see certain documentation to prove that the company exists and who can sign on behalf of the company. It's going to give us HOA information.
So they'll be able to upload those forms and everything, too, at some point?
Actually, it's like you said, like a portal. You'll put it in the entry order entry fields, and it'll shoot right to our software.
Man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great.
It's awesome. We're super excited about it.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Okay.
So once we get the info sheets back, we're working on a bunch of stuff at one time. But, of course, we're doing the title search. We're preparing your documents.
Well, why is that title search important? I mean, it's nothing's happened, right?
Nothing's happened. But you don't want to buy a house that maybe the seller doesn't actually own.
Has that happened?
It has happened. Yep. These crazy things happen with real estate. You think it's super simple and it's a smooth process, and that's not always the case. Maybe there's a foreclosure in the chain and the foreclosure wasn't done properly. Like, there are huge issues that can happen with real estate. So you want to make sure you have a good attorney who can review that search, convey your issues clearly and concisely to the client and then tackle them and move on so you can get towards closing.
Yeah, most of the time, though, is it usually an old HELOC or an old deed of trust or something that appears? What's the most common thing that, that would be an obstacle in a title search?
An old HELOC is a huge one. We run against it all the time. It's even as recent as like 2004. Like, people refi so many times throughout the life of owning a property, and lenders back then were lazy and didn't file the paperwork they were supposed to in the county. That's such a time suck for us. We do have a solution, but it's a time consuming solution. There's a company that will actually help us find these old lenders, get them canceled, but they quote 90 days, 90 day turnaround.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's happened a lot lately. So HELOCs are the big ones. Notary issues where they didn't stamp it right or didn't date it right. Spouses, making sure the right people signed. So those are our big title things. Nothing too disastrous, but things we want to make sure is perfect for the home buyer so they can move forward.
Right, right. All right, so then once they get through the title search portion, then what happens?
We are working with the bank. So we're going to send them kind of a summary of what your title says. We're going to send them a summary of your title, sir, or your tax information so they can properly calculate your escrows. We're sending them that. It's called a title commitment to make sure that you have title insurance and the lender also has a policy. And just work into the back and forth. The lender and us go back and forth to make sure title's good and then the docs are good. They are giving us numbers and we are giving them numbers in return. So the lender's saying, hey, Costner Law, here are our fees. And we say, hey, lender, here are our fees. And we go back and forth until it matches. I wanted to squeeze in, I think we talked about it earlier, but it's important for clients to know that the attorney does not have control over the numbers. We have control over our fees, and that's it. The lender dictates a lot of the fees. So a lot of times when clients get to closing, a good agent and lender will have kind of reviewed those numbers before. Hopefully they got the CD a day or two before the closing, but that doesn't always happen. So please know, there's some things we can control. The numbers are not one of them. So be sure your lender is going over those numbers with you.
So let's say that the good realtors have reviewed the numbers with their clients and there's a discrepancy.
Yep.
What do you do? I know what to do, but I'm asking
yes,
you.
Yes. we're walking everyone through it. You would certainly let us know and we would let the lender know. It depends on what the discrepancy was, right? If it's a commission thing, we would fix it. If it's
Realtors, we know that number.
Right. Yeah. But like due diligence, you guys have repair stuff
right,
that pops up.
The repair stuff is usually what I see.
Exactly.
Popping through.
So there was an additional seller credit that maybe we just forgot. That's something we can fix super easy. If it's a lender fee, like maybe the appraisal was paid outside of closing prior to.
We see that too, yeah.
That's something we have to communicate with the lender. It will take a few hours typically to get that handled, but your attorney is the one going back and forth with the lender to make sure the numbers are correct, although we don't control them all the time. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
And then, so you're dealing with the bank.
We're dealing with the bank.
And they're back and forth. So then comes the loan docs.
The loan docs, yep. So hopefully we get those in 2 days, 3 days before. Sometimes we get them in 5 minutes before closing.
I know that happens all the time.
It does. Oh. But we make it work. We handle it. We'll print out and get signed what we can. We make sure names look good and all the documents make sense. Then we're at the closing table. We're reviewing it with your client, making sure they understand everything, going through the numbers with everyone, and typically takes 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Some people want to read the documents, which is fine. With first-time home buyers, we always take a little more care. You might have somebody who's bought and sold 30 houses and they just want to sign. So we kind of try to read the client, adapt to their needs, and handle the closing accordingly.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. All right. So then what about there's always a form. I get so many chuckles over the name verification one.
Mm-hmm. The lender one, the AKA statement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like... Yep. My wife had like seven names.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you know all of them?
I knew most of them. You know?
That's good. That's good.
I asked her if one of them was a stage name.
There are some surprises for some people sometimes. But
there have been. Yep, I've seen some people really shocked. Yeah. Because, I mean, some of the names make no sense, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Juniors, so, seniors are big,
yeah,
big ones.
There's misspellings that are really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then what happens after that?
So after closing, and North Carolina, for those who have never purchased a home in North Carolina and come from other states, is a little bit different. So you don't own the property as soon as we're done signing. That is not what equals transfer of homeownership. We do have to record the docs, make sure we have all the funds in the bank, and then we record. We will then send out a congratulations, you're on record, to all of our people, and then release the money, which means paying off any mortgages, paying any tax bills that are due, any HOA fines, and then, of course, giving the seller their proceeds.
Right. And you forgot the therapy portion.
Oh, the therapy. Yeah. We're therapists slash attorneys.
You got to have the therapy portion in there.
Yeah. People are really emotional. Like, you get attached to a home. I get it. I'm attached to mine. And it's sad when they have to leave. Even when it's their choice, they are sad. Like, it comes with some tears. And I love when I have the clients who give it to buyers they love, and they just know their house is going to be taken care of. But we've had some divorce situations, too, which we're not going to go into today. But, yeah. Attorney slash therapist.
That's right. Therapist, family law, and real estate closings.
Yep.
It is a process. Thank you for sharing that, Tara. You're listening to the show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison with Tara Cuffney from the Costner Law Firm. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Thank you for spending your time with us today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies, this real estate, property management, and investment. I'm also here with Tara Cuffney with the Costner Law Firm. We are talking through the loan process and how that works. And then next, we're going to talk a little bit about with Tara cash and how to buy a home and how that affects the process. Let me share with you a little bit about how to begin and start the approach to identifying a good investment property. This is very brief. And, you know, if you guys want to get my book called Opportunity is Knocking, it's available on Amazon. You can grab it there. This is just a brief kind of outline. There's obviously more about investment property, property management, stories, and great things in the book. And you'll be hearing more about that as things go on. I want to begin with probably something you don't expect. And that is, when you're looking at investment real estate, it is not emotional. It can't be emotional. I know that people want to look at a piece of investment property like they're living there, but they're not. It has a very, very specific purpose, and it has a very, very specific audience. So the challenges that come when you are emotional is right away you are tempted to overfix, overimprove, overupdate. Just like any good investment, it could really change the outcome of the numbers. So don't, if you're not emotional, you fix it based on the needs of what that particular tenant would want to have it done to. Like, if you're looking at a home that has $1,200 to $1,400 a month in rent, and the cabinets are clean, you put in new flooring, you paint it, you change the light fixtures, you're not always going to be expected to put in granite and other things to bring it up to that next level. It may not be necessary. I had a home recently that I did. We called it the Smurf House. The home had yellow carpet, blue walls, blue wallpaper. It had just terrible looking other things, light fixtures. I drug them behind my truck when I was done and watched them be destroyed. That's how ugly they were. And when we replaced those things, and those impression things were important, I didn't change out the countertops. I didn't need to. It didn't make a difference. And that's $5,000 that I saved, and it rented still in a week. And the people are just renewed for a second year. They're happy. All right? Don't overimprove. And if you get too emotional about it, maybe it's not the right time, you know, and I just, you know, honestly, you got to keep your emotion out of that investment. The second thing about a good approach to real estate, again, something you're not going to expect to hear, but I want to share with you, is failure. You may have a failure or two along the way. Understand that it can happen, and mistakes do happen. I've made a ton of them. And it's important to know that it's a part of the process. It really is. You know, I often chuckle when I hear agents saying, well, I can sell a house to anybody. There's a very big difference between selling a home to live in and selling a piece of investment property. Although your primary home is an investment, and we categorize it as such, you analyze it differently, you think about it differently, and you may not choose the same home in that particular instance. So be okay with making mistakes. And, you know, some people make a mistake in the tenant. We're people. We love people. We like people. And sometimes people aren't always the same people we think they are when they become a tenant than when we had them outside the house. Sometimes we make tenant mistakes. Also, it's hard sometimes to walk away from a bad situation when you've got money invested in it, a house that you've done due diligence on, and all of a sudden you love the house. The numbers work. On the surface, it's an emerging area, but the cost to bring that home up to snuff, or the issues with that home, and you can't come to terms with the seller, you have to be able to walk away. All right? Not doing your research, doing drive-bys at different times of day, you know, and checking out the neighborhood. You know, I laugh I use, when I find a piece of investment property, I use the maps and I use the little yellow guy on the Google Maps and I put him down on the street, mm-hmm. you know. And I have a rule when I look at a piece of investment property. I stand in front of the house, I look 5 right, 5 left. I go to the backyard, I look 3 right, 3 left, and see what's going on. But before I went to this property, I took the little yellow guy and I put him down in front of the house and I spun him around and I was walking up the street and I looked across the street. There were 3 police cars and a guy getting arrested in handcuffs. You know, when the little yellow man that you put down from Google is showing somebody getting arrested across the street, hello, may not be something you want to go visit right away. Now, you know, could have just been a bad day, but at least know that that happened and pull a quick crime report, you know, and see what happened across the street if it was a meth lab or something like that. And last, as I was saying before, you know, drive by the property, go at different times of the day and make sure things are as they appear. Usually when we go, everybody's at work, you know, go one evening. And see what it's like. There are cars parked everywhere where you're never going to get your car in the driveway. So, anyway, just think about those things and understand real estate and work with a realtor that does. Reliable data. Trends don't lie, but they may require more study. Trends out right now say that we should be in a considerable downturn here in Charlotte. The 8 years are up. We're not. Okay? Again, make sure your data is reliable. Make sure that you understand what's happening with a piece of property and that what they're disclosing is the truth. You know, is there something about ready to happen behind that piece of property? Are they getting ready to put a road in? You know, there's an area in Matthews I know of that there's a road getting ready to go behind a very expensive neighborhood. Well, not everybody knows that. You're supposed to disclose it. But, you know, buyer beware, be careful. Do your homework and make sure your agent does to make sure there are no issues. All right? Know the area. Is there transportation? Are they getting ready to bring the train by? What are the jobs like and what kind of jobs? You know, are they getting ready to improve the roads? What type of stores are coming? You know, we always love a new Walmart or a new Chick-fil-A. Look at the signs. Are there rezoning signs around? And if so, what are they for? Look them up on the internet. Of course, schools. But here's another. Sewer. Recently, in Min Hill on Lawyers Road, they're taking an 8-inch line and they're adding another 24-inch sewer line. Why? Because they're going to put in a mall. Sewer is good. Sewer means development. But no, Make sure you know where the mall's going. You don't want to be across the street from that bad boy unless you plan on putting a Chick-fil-A or something in there, right? All right. And then know your numbers. Here's, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, let me give you some brief numbers that you can write down. Look for at least an 8% plus gross yield. And if you're using a lender, make sure that your returns are at least greater than zero and you understand the appreciation and that the area is growing by at least 4%. Look at the rents. Make sure they're going and able to go up by about 3.5%. You know, ask yourself, what does this do for my taxes? If you're in South Carolina and you live in North Carolina, realize you're going to pay 60% more at least in property tax. Plug that into your numbers. Understand you're going to need 6 months of reserves. That is a must when you're buying investment property. Don't use what's on Zillow. Zillow doesn't always have the right numbers. Make sure you have cash to handle any repairs and recalculate returns based on that cash. And don't forget your management cost. All right. There's a little bit by the numbers and a couple of surprises, too. We'll be back. The Show Your Real Estate Today News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host here. Thanks for spending your time with us today. We're glad you're with us, and sorry we have to pre-record. We love hearing from you, usually on the phones, but unable to do that today. But thank you for listening, and we hope that we're adding value and educating you and helping to add some information to your day with Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments, located in downtown Matthews. I'm here with Tara Cuffney with the Costner Law Firm. You guys have a few offices, right?
We do.
Where are you?
In Charlotte.
Right.
Yep, in Charlotte. We're in the University area and then Ballantyne. We are posted up in Belmont as well. We have one of our attorneys, Ashley's there, and someone in Oakhurst and Concord now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, and then Nashville?
Nashville, Tampa, Myrtle Beach, Dallas, Texas.
All right.
And Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
Did I get them all? Yep.
Wow, that's great.
Raleigh, of course.
And Raleigh. Oh, everybody's there. Yeah. That's it. All right, well, I thought it would be beneficial, Tara, to take a turn. We talked a little bit about the process, and we talked about it when the bank was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk a little bit about if the bank's not involved, how the process is different, and I guess you have different choices when there's no bank.
You do. You have a lot more flexibility when that cash money is involved.
But at the break, she was telling me, for sure, we can't get away from the info sheet.
Yep. Very important, that info sheet.
No matter what. Okay, so we send you the contract, and we get the info sheet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the info sheet comes. Does it have pretty much the same information? I guess
it has
just draw
exactly
a line through the bank
same information.
Stuff.
Yep. And the fees are less because we don't have to deal with a lender.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, we like that.
It is good.
All right. So do I still need to get title insurance?
You do. We are still doing a title search, a title exam, and then giving you opinion to that. You need title insurance no matter what. We are going to fight you real hard if you don't think you need it. And if you don't think you need it, you're going to then sign a waiver and say that you hold us harmless. We did recommend that you get it. It's so minor. In the grand scheme of what you're paying for a home, title insurance is a couple hundred bucks, and you have it forever.
Right, and you only pay that one time.
You pay it one time. One time. Why would you not get insurance on the biggest thing you will ever purchase? You get car insurance, you get life insurance, you get home insurance for hazard insurance, but you need insurance for the land, the actual title to the land.
Well, I think I shared with you a client of mine bought a home many, many years ago, and he got title insurance. He paid cash, and he got title insurance, and all of a sudden someone appeared with a claim on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something he had closed with an attorney that was no longer in business anymore.
Right.
But he had that title insurance policy. They tried to make a $65,000 claim on him,
mm-hmm.
on a house he owned outright, but he had title insurance.
Yep. So they stepped in and defended his interests.
They did.
Yep.
And the bank settled. There, it was like a $15,000 loan, but it had been so many years, there were $50,000 worth of fees on it and late fees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it covers big things. It covers small things. Our investment property, we got a bill in the mail for grass mowing. We didn't know about grass mowing. We always mowed our grass. It was from prior to us purchasing the home. Title insurance paid for it because it wasn't my fault. But there was no one really to go after for it. So it was $300, but that was $300 I didn't have to pay.
Yeah, your title insurance.
And it paid for my title insurance.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. So we hope people never, ever have to use it. And I tell people at the closing, I'm like, it's insurance. You only need it when you need it. But you have it. Yep. I hope you never need it. But when you do, it's really important.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
Yes. What are most of the kind of claims that take place that would be title insurance other than grass mowing?
I would say... What did I just deal with? A friend of mine actually bought a property. The property lines had changed. And so we had to go back. Oh, yeah. There was an owner who still owned property from 25 years ago. We had to try to go after that owner and get him to sign something over. He wouldn't sign it. So the title insurance company hired an attorney, filed a lawsuit, and now my friend owns her property. So it's not always as severe as that, but it's missed bills, a lot of missed bills that pop up after the fact that we couldn't find on public record, any judgments that aren't available at the time of closing, tax bills sometimes, if those are missed, and years down the road they come into play. So it's across the board. It's a bunch of little things.
Wow.
But yeah.
So nowadays, you know, and I know that my grandmother, and of course me to a certain extent, when I finally paid off the piece of property, I got that deed in the mail and I saved it in my safety deposit box. And when I was ready to sell it, I pulled that precious deed out of the safety deposit box and came to you and said, "Here, I know you need this." Today you burst my bubble and I'm very upset by that.
I'm so sorry.
I'm very upset.
We don't need your deed. I love my paper savers. I love them. They've actually saved themselves a lot of trouble to help insure over title issues when they find that prior policy from 20 years ago. I'm always so impressed. I'm like, how did you keep this document for 20 years? It's amazing. You just don't need it anymore. We keep everything via PDF, and we no longer even send deeds out to our clients. I know people love to get them in the mail, but they're a public record that same day. I can go out and pull you a copy offline and send it right to you. It's just as good. It's better. If it's recorded at the Register of Deeds, it is superior to anything you have in your hand.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry, Paul.
I got to get over this. It's a change.
I'll print it out for you, and you can save it.
Out there, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Tara is one of those utes. See? I'm showing my age. I'm not going to talk about
that
anymore. All right. Can I add someone to the deed?
With cash, you can do whatever you want. Yes, add someone to title. When it comes to the contract, you guys might want to amend the contract on your end, but with the deed, we will put whoever you want to be on title.
What if I want to add someone to the deed after it's closed and it's a cash deal?
We will gladly do that. I'm going to move into some legal language stuff.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
So how you hold title, there are many different ways. You just don't own title and that's it. We need to kind of determine what kind of title you own. So my biggest scenario that I have when someone wants to add someone after closing is they are getting married. So they're engaged at the time, they buy the house, and they are say, "Hey, I'm getting married. Can I add my spouse on later?" I say, "Sure, no problem." We can do a quick claim deed or non-warranty deed, but we always want to make sure we title things the best way possible. So it's tenancy in common, tenancy by the entireties, and tenancy with joint rights of survivorship. So tenancy in common, say Paul and I owned a piece of property. We each own half of it. So I could sell my half to anyone I want, and Paul would still have his 50%. If one of us were to pass away, it doesn't automatically go to the other. It would have to run through our estate. So my 50% would run through my estate. Paul would keep his 50% and have no control over what my 50% did. Joint tenants with rights of survivorship, that's when we use for people who are not married but want to kind of make sure that the other person automatically gets the property. So again, you and I, we go in and buy property, but we want to make sure if one of us were to pass away, our will does not control and it does not go to our heirs or our estate. Mm-hmm. So we would say Paul Jameson and Tara Cuffney as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So the ownership automatically transfers. The next is tenancy by the entirety, and that's what I encourage my engaged or young couples to do. Like, once you get married, please come back to us and let's put it in this special language, because it actually gives the property special protection. If you own property as husband and wife, North Carolina takes that very seriously, above and beyond most states. It makes it judgment proof. So if a creditor comes after you, say you have a bad medical bill and they it's just after one of the people, it won't attach to the property unless it's against both of them. So it saves us so many times on title searches.
Yeah.
It knocks out judgments left and right, which we love. So it's a good protection for homeowners. And if y'all have questions when you go to buy a house, ask us. I answer those questions all day long. Someone's at the closing table and wants to talk about these tenancy options.
Right. But can people buy a piece of property in a trust or an LLC?
They sure can. With cash, they can do it so easily. With a lender, you're going to have to make sure the lender approves that you can buy it in the LLC or trust.
It's hard to buy a piece of property in an LLC.
Is.
It really
you
is.
You can certainly do that. We're going to ask you for a little extra documentation, copy of the trust, copy of your organization docs. But yes,
perfect.
You certainly can.
Well, if people want to talk to you, Tara, how do they do it?
They can call our main line. It's 980-219-7637, or they can go to costnerlaw.com.
980-219-7637. Thank you, Tara.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
No, you're welcome.
I'm all tongue-tied.
Glad to do it. And this is the show, Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Jamison. You can reach me at 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com, or jump on Amazon, and you can get the book called Opportunity is Knocking. Soon it'll be on pauljamison.com as well, where you can see where I'll speak next, calendars, and other great blogs that I'll be putting up there, or vlogs, as they're called in the technical term. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to next time. The show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. God bless.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.